Our sense of self is a strategy for finding happiness in worlds of becoming. It answers two questions. Who's going to be able to put forth the effort to bring that happiness about? And who's going to benefit from it? And depending on how we define ourselves in terms of either of those questions, we decide what's worth doing, how it can be done. And as long as we're looking for happiness in the world of becoming, we're going to need a sense of self. This is why when we hear that the Buddha taught that there is no self, there's a very large part of the mind that resists. And it's good that it does resist. Because what does it mean to say there's no self? It means there's no agent, there's nobody doing anything, and there's nobody receiving the results of those actions. The actions are just there. It makes you want to give up. But the Buddha was not the kind of person who gave up. It was that part of him who really wanted happiness that did the search. After all, he was dissatisfied with the inconstant things in which he was looking for happiness. And he said, is there something that doesn't die? No aging, no illness, no death. That's a very high demand. And he kept to those standards. So what does the teaching on anatta mean? And John Lee has several interesting ways of dealing with it. One, he says that the Buddha didn't just say everything is in constant stressful not self and give up. He actually tried to see what was constant lying in the midst of what's inconstant. What was easeful lying in the midst of what's stressful. What you could control in the midst of all these things that we can't control. This is how you get the mind into concentration. We try to get the breath so that it is easeful, and we try to get the mind so it can stay constantly with the breath. It requires a certain amount of control. Then John Lee goes on to say, then the Buddha let go of both sides, both what was constant and inconstant, easeful, stressful, self, not self. So what you're doing is you're learning how to use these tools to find something that goes deeper. And you don't give up. I was reading a book by a monk one time who said, well, practice of concentration requires a sense of self, and we all know the Buddha discouraged having a sense of self, so don't practice concentration. And the question is, what is right concentration doing in the path? And there's no way you're going to get the mind concentrated just by allowing it to wander as it likes and somehow coming up with concentration. It's like the idea of getting all those monkeys to type, and one of them would come up with Shakespeare. The odds are hugely against it. You definitely do want to see what you can get under your control. And use your ingenuity. This is one of the qualities the Buddha said. You have to have a good sense of yourself, where your strengths are, where your weaknesses are, in terms of learning, conviction, discernment, and particularly your ingenuity. And so you try to develop these things. Try to get a sense of what you've got here in terms of these aggregates, like the aggregate of form. What do you do with the different elements or the properties of earth, water, wind, and fire? And John Lee himself was able to recover from a heart attack out in the middle of the jungle, just using his breath. There was no one there to tell him how to do it. He had to use his ingenuity. And so when you find troubles coming up in your meditation, don't just give up. Say, there must be a way around this. And when you believe that there is a way, then you're going to find it. If you don't believe there's a way, then you're certainly not going to find it. It's not going to suddenly magically appear for you. As for things that are not self, the concept or the perception of not self is something you apply to things that get in the way of the concentration, get in the way of your practice of virtue. In other words, anything unskillful in your menagerie of selves, you learn to look at it more objectively. And as you get better concentration, you can pull away from these things, step back from them, and recognize them as old selves that may have had a use a long time ago. But you've got to put them out to pasture. They don't work anymore. And as for parts of the body that are beyond your control, well, find out where they are by trying to use your ingenuity and using the concentration to see what you can get under your control. The body doesn't come with any clear demarcations. Of course, with time, more and more things get out of your control, but you're not going to find this out exactly where the line is until you push it. In fact, that's a lot of what John Lee's meditation instructions, his concentration instructions, are all about. Push the limits of the line in terms of what you can make constant, easeful, bring under your control. And then you're not just importing the Buddha's idea into your head. You're beginning to see when you run up against a wall, okay, this is a wall. And it's something you know for yourself. But there is enough potential in the mind in particular that you don't have to be walled in. And so you use these tools, these aggregates. So the Buddha says, if you cling to them in the wrong way, they're going to be suffering. If you cling to them in the right way, they can actually become part of the path. These activities the mind does in terms of feeling, perception, fabrication. This is how we make the path. And we look after it. That's the other aspect of John Lee's teachings on not-self. He says some people just give up and say, well, these aggregates are not-self, so just let them go. Don't do anything with them. He says there are a lot of good things in the aggregates. Don't just throw them away. He makes a comparison of someone who has a wound that is getting infected. And they just say, well, that's the nature of wounds. You're going to die if you let your wound get infected and don't do something about it. In the same way, if you just let go of your aggregates and say, well, they're not me, they're not mine. You're letting go like a pauper. That's another one of his analogies. There are good things you can get out of these aggregates. And then you let them go. You don't carry them around. It's like owning a car. You don't take your car to bed with you. You don't carry it around in a knapsack. You leave it outside. And then you use it when you need to, and then you put it aside when you don't. But you have to make the effort to be able to buy the car to begin with. In the same way with the aggregates, you have to make the effort with them to make your mind have a place where it can settle down and be at its ease. Then when you let it go, it's still there for you to use. Even though the Buddha let go of his virtue, concentration, and discernment at the final steps of the path, still they didn't go away. They were there for him to use. So take care of your aggregates, look after them, and they'll be good to you, up to a point. But if you can get the path out of them, then you've got what you really need. I had a student one time who went over to Thailand and ordained as a nun there. She'd been doing the John Lee method, working with the breath. And the John she had, however, didn't like that method. He said, why are you trying to adjust the breath? It's just a fabrication. she told me what he said. And I told her, well, if he had said that to me, I would probably have been driven out of the monastery. But I said, well, why are you bathing your body? It's just a fabrication. These things are there for us to use, so we take good care of them as we can. When the time comes when they can't do anything for us anymore, okay, that's when you finally let them go. And you get practice beforehand, getting what's good out of them. Try to squeeze as much goodness as you can out of your body. Because the goodness really does have value. As for the limitations you run into in terms of the body, you don't really know where they are until you've pushed against them. I think I've told you about that old woman who had gone with a friend to stay with Ajahn Mahabua for a while. The friend had cancer, wanted to meditate, get herself ready for her death. And Ajahn Mahabua had said, well, I can look after your mind, but I can't look after your illness. You need to have a doctor come along. So there was an old retired doctor, a woman in her 80s, who agreed to come along. Ajahn Mahabua gave him 3 months' worth of Dharma talks every night, almost without exception. And they recorded all of them. When they went back home, the friend who had cancer died after a couple months. The old woman doctor still was around. She said, suppose I tried to transcribe the tapes. There were more than 80 tapes altogether. Her eyesight was bad. She had a lot of health problems, but she was able to transcribe all of them. They were printed in 2 large books. And she said what kept her going was a comment by Ajahn Mahabua that as you're getting older, try to squeeze as much goodness out of the body as you can, while you've got it. So that when you have to throw it away, you've got something good to show for the fact that you had this body to begin with, you had this mind. So you don't give up. The teaching on not self is not a teaching for lazy people or defeatist people. It's for people, as the Buddha says, who want to get the essence out of having these aggregates. The aggregates themselves may not have an essence. But if you use them right, they can take you to something that does have essence. So don't be too quick to throw them away. Get the best use you can out of them. Get them into concentration. Use your ingenuity to develop more and more discernment as you get the mind to settle down and deal with whatever problems come up. And you find that these ephemeral things that are not self can get some true happiness. If you use them right, that the happiness is so good that once you finally get it, you don't need to ask who's experiencing it. That's one of Ajahn Sawat's comments. Is once you find the ultimate happiness, you don't care to ask if there's a self or not self. The happiness is that sufficient. So there's a lot of good to be found in these aggregates by using them well. So don't be too quick to throw them away.